the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew 13, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls." And the third time, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus uses pictures to teach us. It's very effective. And so for you today, if you remember these three pictures Jesus gives us, you will understand how he connects the kingdom of heaven to these three pictures: treasures, pearls, and fish. These three pictures Jesus uses are pictures well known to all of us. A hidden treasure, like coming upon a pot of gold that you stumble upon in a field. Pearls, precious gemstones, that wow factor, or that great big ring that you bought for your beloved when you were engaged. And fish. People are like fish swimming in water, and God goes out in a fishing expedition to gather us into the boat of the church. One of my favorite shows is Antique Roadshow. And it's fun to watch because everyone showing up there hopes they had that experience of the person who brought in this cheap painting, and they took a razor and cut the back of the painting, and all of a sudden they find there's some priceless Rembrandt or something behind this cheap painting worth millions of dollars. And everyone comes in hoping that their little treasure that they bring might be worth something unexpected. Well, here the picture is of Jesus coming in and finding us as treasure, finding us as pearls, and finding us as fish. You see, rather than looking at this text that you are the one that has to go out and find the treasure, you are the one that has to go out and find this pearl, you are the one that has to go out and fish, the meaning of this before us today is Jesus is the one who treasures us and sells everything to purchase us as a treasure in the field. Jesus is the merchant who deals in fine pearls, and he finds us and sells everything to buy us because he treasures us as a pearl of great value. And Jesus is the one leading the fishing expedition as the gospel net is thrown into the world and gathering us fish into the boat of the church. Those are the pictures before us. But if we're going to talk today about the kingdom of heaven where God is, it is a fair question to ask, who is God? That's answered in Deuteronomy 7 this morning. The Lord our God's eternal plan was to choose this unknown people called Israel, small in number, as his treasured possession. He looked through all of history and planned from the line of Shem to bring forth Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob and Judah and Jesse and David and Mary and Joseph to bring forth the Messiah. The mighty hand of the Lord who redeemed them from slavery and brought them into the promised land, out of Egypt to the promised land, gave his covenant to his people. The faithful God, the Lord God of hosts, who is God, and has used from that line of Abraham through Judah to bring forth Christ. There is only one God, the only true God, the Lord God of hosts, who is one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no other God. This is the God who sent his Son Jesus Christ to bring the kingdom of heaven from heaven to earth. And it's this Jesus who wants us to be with his Father in heaven that gives us these three pictures. Let's begin with the first picture. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. Jesus is the king, and when he came in his incarnation, born of Mary, to earth, that's how heaven touched earth. Jesus is that man who in his incarnation came down to the stuff, the dirt of this earth, and considers us a hidden treasure in a field, and purchases that field in joy so that he can have us as his treasure. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the only begotten Son of the Father in eternity, as we said in the Creed, hid himself in human form. The hiddenness of the kingdom, the hidden treasure of who we are, the hiddenness of how God works, is what the gospel is all about. Jesus, when he came to earth, born of Mary in Bethlehem, was an unknown. He became a simple carpenter in Nazareth. He was not a man of prominence as far as the world was concerned. But in his broken body, which would be hung upon the cross, and in his glorious resurrection, the hiddenness of God was made manifest. And in joy, he sold all that he had. He takes upon himself our human flesh and purchases us the treasure in that field. Paul said much the same in Romans chapter 8 this morning. God, who calls you according to his purpose, works everything out for good for you. He foreknew you. He predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ is the firstborn of creation, raised from the dead first. In him we've been called, we have been justified, and we have been glorified. To be justified means that Christ, in the payment of his blood, paid the debt that we owed. And because the debt is paid in full, God justifies us, which means he declares us righteous, he declares us innocent because of Christ making the payment, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Though the treasure seems to be hidden, Jesus revealed himself as the one who purchases that field. He treasures you to lay it down all for you upon the cross, as a treasure that is valuable to him. And that's you, and that's me. And I think that's powerful, a powerful imagery of his love for you. The second picture is a merchant and a pearl. Jesus continues. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is another picture of what Jesus has done. But here, instead of being a man who finds and stumbles upon a treasure, it's a merchant. Jesus is pictured here as a businessman searching for fine pearls, and he liquidates all that he has to purchase this one pearl of great value. He values this so important to himself that he gives it up all to purchase this one pearl. Here's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ seen actually in you and me, kind of like a diamond in the rough. It is true that we were born in sin. In sin did our mother conceive us. And we commit sins of thought, word, and deed constantly. And we deserve nothing but punishment. But Jesus sees us as someone that he still loves. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to get your act together and then say, "I'll die for you." He already forgave those soldiers while they were nailing him to the cross. He was forgiving the people who were spitting on him and the people that were walking by the cross mocking him. He was forgiving them from that very cross. You see how Jesus values you and me like a great pearl and gives it all up for us upon the cross? And you think about the events of Holy Week, entering into Jerusalem upon the donkey, giving us the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday, dying in our place on Good Friday, being in the tomb on Easter Sunday, and raised and ascended to the right hand of God as our intercessor. He values us and purchases us for himself like a pearl of great value to him. Paul explained that also in Romans 8 when he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, and he graciously will give us all things. If God justifies you and declares you righteous, who can condemn you? No one. Christ Jesus died and is raised and ascended to the right hand of God, is even interceding for you. He values you so much that right now, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus is interceding specifically for you in those specific needs as our chief priest, our great high priest before the throne of grace, and intercedes for us. Just as he has found us in that field as his hidden treasure, he also loves us as this great pearl of great value. He loves you like that. And I think that too is powerful. And then the third picture, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. Now Jesus goes to the picture of a fisherman. Four of the fishermen, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, were actual fishermen. Jesus turned them into fishers of men. And though it's true in Jesus' day, sometimes they fished with a line and a hook. Usually they fished with a net. When I was in Galilee and saw the fishermen, even today fishing, they take these nets about 20 feet in length, throw them from the boat, pull it in, pull it up into the boat, save the good fish and bring it to shore, and throw away the bad. The gospel is a net that's thrown out into the world when the word of God, ever since Pentecost, is going to the people of all nations. He's gathering people to himself. It matters not to Jesus what the color of your skin is. He doesn't care if you're blue collar or white collar. He doesn't care if you're man or woman, old or young. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. He created you, he loves you, he redeems you, and he wants you into the boat, if you will, of the church. When it's drawn ashore, the fishermen see all these fish gathered to them. I shared this 3 weeks ago in the picture of Jesus preaching from the boat. Did you know he's actually sitting in a boat? This is called the nave. That's Latin for boat. In the front of a ship, there's a pulpit where the captain gives orders to the crew upon the ship. We're in a boat, if you will, through holy baptism. Through holy baptism, we are brought into the nave, into God's boat and church, people of all nations. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you are one of his fish. Now, there is a spoken word of judgment by Jesus. The bad fish are those who will not repent, who will not believe in Christ, and Jesus calls them evil. They are thrown into the fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a picture of hell. People gnash their teeth when they realize they've done something stupid, idiotic, and they're paying the price for it. These are people who heard the gospel went to all the nations, and they said, no, God, leave me alone. I don't want you in my life. Get out of my life. I'm not going to repent. I like my sins, and I'm certainly not going to believe in Jesus. Now they're weeping and gnashing their teeth because they're the bad fish that are just thrown away. That's the picture of judgment when Christ returns. But the good fish, placed in containers, brought into the boat, it says at the close of the age, the angels will go forth and separate the evil from the righteous, and they will gather the good into containers. When a fisherman brings in the catch of the day, he shows everyone, look at my catch. The Lord catches us in the net of the gospel, and look at the catch. These are the ones who are righteous in Christ, who I've gathered into me. And what a beautiful picture of heaven as a boat. And you're in this nave, this boat, and it is as if we come to the Lord's table, we're sailing into heaven as Noah and his family came to the ark and got off, and the new earth then began. Through holy baptism, we are going to be brought into the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness reigns. So in conclusion, those powerful pictures, a treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great value, and fish in the boat are simple ways to remember what Jesus has done for you. The kingdom of heaven has come to you in Jesus, the King from heaven. He is true man who shares our flesh and blood. But in his teaching about his crucifixion and resurrection in our place, you've been brought through your baptism, through being catechized and taught, through hearing absolution and taking Holy Communion. You are being reassured. You believe here in time because God chose you in eternity, predestined you, called you, justified you, and glorified you. He values you like a treasure and like a pearl and fish in his boat. And you have this comfort, as Paul said in Romans, that you have the love of Christ. Nothing will separate you from his love. If you're experiencing persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, you might be killed and slaughtered for Christ, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because not death nor life, rulers or principalities, things present, things to come, height, depth, nothing in all creation will separate us, he says, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, as you leave here, remember that powerful imagery, the kingdom of heaven for you and for me through Christ Jesus our Lord. A hidden treasure, a pearl of great value, fish in Jesus' boat. That's you and me purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ. To him alone be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.